Welcome, everybody, to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
Hey, guaranteed to be the only show on this station not trying to sell you something.
Yeah, that's us. And that was Nate. I'm Alon. We do the show every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. It's only an hour, but it's great stuff as long as we're here. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Also, make sure you check out chatterboxgameshow.com, because that's us. We're not selling you stuff, but there's all sorts of things you can do, like forums and stuff. Now, our third co-host is Julie Stopher. This is actually her first show with us. If you heard our show a few weeks ago, you would have heard us guest interview her, because she is a host on Electric Playground on G4 TV. But now, of course, she loved us so much, she's going to be with us forever and ever and ever. Hi, Julie.
Absolutely. I love you guys.
That's awesome. You know what's funny is actually some of our readers and our listeners, I guess you would call them, they love you too. And on our, if you ever...
So much so.
Yeah. If you go to our forums, you've already had a couple marriage proposals.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and offers to give you babies.
Interesting. Well, you know, I already am married, but I'm also Mormon, so it might work out.
Hey, that's interesting. You should bring that up.
Yeah. We were actually debating if we should say something like that on the air.
You know, we could try to be funny, and I could be like, well.
You're probably like, oh, she'd probably be offended.
Well, Nate's like, I don't think it would help her keep her on the show.
That's hilarious. No, I love that. I'm going to be on the forums tonight. I want to check it out. I want to see how many marriage proposals can Julie Stopher get on the Chatterbox forums tonight. That's the question of the day.
Rebel771 says, you know, it's nice to hear a girl gamer and a gorgeous one at that who'll be doing her part in the video game community. Of course, you were already doing your part, but now it's even more so because we're a better show than anything ever.
Thanks, Rebel.
No,
yeah, you guys are awesome. No, I'm really excited to be able to be hosting with you guys and talking about some games. I just got back from QuakeCon.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes, I was out there in Dallas, Texas, for the QuakeCon 2005. It was very much fun.
Can you tell me what exactly it is?
What it is?
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I want to get the word out, too.
QuakeCon, essentially, QuakeCon is a big old smorgasbord of gamers. They get together in this huge conference. It's actually a hotel called the Gaylord. I don't know if they always do in the Gaylord, but it's a big old conference that is essentially a bunch of Quake fans get together, not just Quake fans, but gamers get together and they play, they battle, there's tournaments. I mean, and these are serious tournaments. Like, they have some pretty good cash. I know that they had, I think the grand prize in one of the divisions I saw was $50,000. And
yeah,
I don't know if that was $50,000 for the winner or to be split amongst the winners, but I was like, wow.
Well, because they have some serious sponsorship over there.
Yeah.
They got AMD, NVIDIA, Intel, everybody's... You know, jumping on that bandwagon, I believe.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we don't have them on our side yet.
We want Pita Pit, and we can't even get them.
we
don't even want money. We just want free food.
Yeah. we stopped.
Can I get a burrito?
We're talking about that. We want to get Chipotle on our side, but we went to Krispy Kreme on the way to the station today, and we were like, hey, you guys are franchised, right? Let's talk to the owner, get some Krispy Kreme every day for the show.
Oh, it just word to the wise. Apparently, the cookies and cream. They're going out,
yeah.
So
no
get them while you can if you like those.
I have a feeling that's feature only to our local area.
Well, people in Phoenix.
All right. Okay, so...
Yeah, I mean, is there a better business, though, than selling air and sugar? That's really all those donuts are,
none
right?
That I found.
They're also packed with love,
them, like,
Julie.
Oxygen.
Don't get it wrong. Packed with love.
And they're 70 cents a piece. That's such a ripoff!
Yeah, it is. It is, actually. That's why we want to get them free. all right, so what exactly was your part at the QuakeCon? What were you doing there?
They invited me. Actually, NVIDIA had me come out because they had a big presentation they were going to give where they wanted to do contests with these gamers that, since they were gaming the whole weekend, they wanted to do some contests that were a little bit different than gaming. They were kind of gross out games. We were making people eat sticks of butter. We were making girls shave their heads.
You made girls shave their heads?
All four graphics cards and other fabulous prizes from NVIDIA.
That's awesome. All right, so you were emceeing this part of the event?
Right. I was emceeing, and I was torturing the people that I brought up on stage and giving them fabulous prizes. But we actually had two girls shave their heads. I was so impressed.
Wow.
I mean, that's hardcore. When you find a girl that'll shave her head for a graphics card, you don't want to get rid of that girl. You need to keep that girl around because that's amazing.
You know, I actually, at my job that pays during the week, one of the people there, it's sort of like in a public event, and one of the girls there had a T-shirt that said, roses are red, but red didn't say red. It was just pound FF0000, hex code for red. So roses are red, violets are blue, same thing, you know, pound 00FF. All of my base are belong to you. So roses are red, violets are blue, all my base are belong to you. And I,
you know, I love that. I picked up a T-shirt at QuakeCon that said, I dig small ping.
Yeah. So I fell in love immediately, and it was a good time. There's so many girls out there that play games, and none of them are in my life.
Yeah.
Really. That's
that's a sad part.
Except me now.
Yes, there's you. And actually, we need to talk to you. We're going to be in San Diego in...
like a couple of days?
A week and a half.
Yeah.
So
you're at my house. You have to be at my house. I live on Coronado Island, and you have to be there.
All right. Well, cool. We'll certainly stop off. I'm going to need to nap because I will have no sleep at that point.
Yeah.
But we're
going
to... for those who haven't noticed, we talked about it a little bit on the Penny Arcade forums. We're going to join up with everybody to do the West Coast Super Trip, which is when we drive for really an insane number of
time.
Hours.
Yeah, I've done this once, and I almost killed myself a few times.
Yeah.
When I got off, this was for my trip from Fargo to Austin, Texas, and the gas station attendant thought I was had some bad stuff.
Yeah.
I looked that rough, so.
Yeah, so we're going to do the West Coast Super Trip, which means we drive from San Diego, that's the starting point. Of course, we're going to be starting in Phoenix. So Phoenix to San Diego and then all the way up to Seattle, Washington, so that we can go to PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, which should hopefully be awesome. And we're actually throwing around the idea. We wanted to do a trivia Jeopardy-style game show for Chatterbox in a couple weeks, but we think we might actually do that live with contestants at PAX.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and then give away a bunch of prizes. So anyone who's listening who's going to be at PAX, you should email us, and maybe you'll get to be a contestant. So anyway, that's why we're going to be in San Diego.
Very cool, very cool.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
and anybody that's listening that's female, you need to say hello to Alon because he's a very nice guy.
I am. It's funny. Julie's met me, I think, for 5 minutes in person once. But I'm already high on her list.
I'm a very horrible person, just to let all those ladies know.
Yeah, so stay away from Nate, apparently.
That's yes.
Yeah. All right, so here, we talked about QuakeCon a little bit. I also heard that they introduced Quake 4 for the first time at QuakeCon. Were you part of that at all?
Yeah, the multiplayer. They introduced the QuakeCon. At QuakeCon, they introduced Quake 4's multiplayer, and I had an opportunity to sit down with it, and it's really good. It's really impressive. I had a great time. They had it all hooked up, you know, on a LAN, and everybody was playing together, and I was getting completely creamed because everybody at that thing is an insane gamer and has played Quake pretty much their whole life. But, you know, I held my own. I wasn't doing too bad. It's fun, though. It's really good.
Were any people from id Software there talking about Quake 4? Because I know that they aren't really doing the programming for it.
Yeah, actually, we had the CEO of id, Todd Hollenshead, there. And he was talking about the game, and he was... you know, I didn't get to talk to him as much as I wanted to because we were just slammed, but it was there, so.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that they weren't just bailing out and making the developers be there, too. I'm sure that, in fact, when I talked to people who were programming for Quake 4, and this was, God, like a year and a half ago, they said that it did have a big part in making sure that it fit what they wanted and choosing the right developer and stuff, but I know that they're not actually hands-on working on the game. Directly, so it was sort of confusing because I know obviously they've been working on it since the beginning.
Yeah.
And so it might be weird for people to realize that they aren't actually doing anything with it because they moved on to Doom and they're working on that. All right, so here's what we're going to do for everybody. We are going to go to commercial in a few minutes, but then we're going to come back with Jeff Keighley. And Jeff Keighley is someone that Julie actually knows because he's not here yet, but he will be soon. And he, just like Julie, does some hosting for Electric Playground on G4 TV. He also has his own show, as opposed to just being a guest host like he is for Electric Playground, called G4TV.com, which oddly is the name of the show on G4.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard of this guy, you probably should anyway. And if you go to our website, I said that when we talked about what was going to be on the show this week. And you can go to Gameslice.com, and there's a link to that. That's his website that talks about all the things he's done. And wow, has this guy done a lot.
He's done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, in the industry. So that's why we're bringing him on. We want to talk about what he's done, how he's gotten there, and where he's going. And so that will hopefully be interesting. And I want everyone to call in and talk to him yourself. So You can call us at 602-277-KFNX if you're local to Phoenix. If you're not, and that's more likely, you can call us at 866-536-1100. And that'll be toll-free anywhere in the U.S. You get to talk to us and Julie and Jeff about pretty much everything. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Now, I'm going to take a second and play you something that I found on the internet today, which I
Whoa, you found?
Oh!
Oh, steal my thunder.
I'm sorry. Nate found. But it's actually really interesting stuff. And then we'll go to commercial. So, we'll see you back here in just a few minutes, everybody.
We were negotiating with the Pentagon. We had a blue screen of death. That was the last straw. When you're holding the moon for ransom, you value stability in an application. Linux gives us the power we need to crush those who oppose us. It's compatible with our orbiting brain lasers. I've got a Beowulf cluster of atomic supermen. I have more friends now. Genetically engineered cyber goats, henchmen with bad teeth, gorgeous fembots with a penchant for evil. I mean, Linux runs on anything. I'm all about open source. Just changed my love life. You have to config it, and then you have to write some shell scripts. Update your RPMs. You have to partition your drives and patch your kernel. Compile your binaries. Check your version dependencies. Probably do that once or twice. It's just so easy. It's so simple. I don't see why most people don't run Linux. Thank God they don't, because then they'd all be supervillains, wouldn't they? Ha. I'm Steve, and I'm a supervillain.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I'm Alon, and this is...
Nate.
Oh, excellent. Now, if you guys want to learn how to get into the video game industry, one of the best ways to do it is to go to school. Go to UAT.edu, and that's where you can learn about the University of Advancing Technology, where Nate and I both have a little bit of an experience. And it's a good place to be if you want to learn how to do art, if you want to learn how to program.
Programming, all that good stuff.
All that jazz. So we're going to bring on Julie and Jeff. Julie and Jeff are here with us. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, you know Julie, right?
Absolutely. Julie and I work together on EP every week.
There
what's
she
is. What's up, baby?
How you doing, Julie?
I'm good. How are you?
She's got a new gig. Are you leaving us at EP, or is it just adding to your repertoire?
Never, never. Just expanding, Jeff.
That's good. All right.
Expanding. I'm trying to be like you. I got to get a resume like yours. I've seen yours, and it's long, and I got to get there.
It is fairly stacked, and that's what I want you to tell us about. Give us a little background on your experience, Jeff.
Yeah, I've been writing about games. I started as a my career sort of in the business when I was in the ninth grade, and I started beta testing games for Sierra Online. I beta tested a lot of their old adventure games like King's Quest, Leisure Suit Larry, all that stuff. So I was providing feedback on those games, and I was posting a lot of messages about the games because I knew them so well. So I was this little kid on CompuServe posting hints and tips for people. And then one day, an editor from a magazine called Computer Game Strategy Plus had read my messages and said, boy, this guy really seems to know games. Let's hire him in to write some previews. And the great thing was, because my reviews were online, I wrote well, but he didn't know I was 13 or 14 years old at the time. So he hired me in to write a preview of Sim Farm, which was the first game preview I wrote back in, I think, 1992. And then ever since then, I've just kept writing about games throughout college, and now I've sort of made it into a career, which has been a lot of fun, and I get to work with great people like Julie and do some TV stuff now as well. But my heart is still being a journalist with the written word.
That's pretty killer. Now, see, what I just got out of all that is that you are as old as I am.
That's right.
And no older.
26. I'm proud of it.
Man, I had this
I'm
assumption.
I'm 26 too. That's crazy.
This is crazy. Nate's the tiny dog.
I'm the kid at 22.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and if you look at the website, he looks like he's 12. So.
I know.
Yeah, we got to change the picture, by the way.
That looks so bad.
There are a lot of young people in this industry, and that's part of the reason why I love it. So.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about Jeff's story, especially as he got started when he was 13, and they didn't realize they were hiring a kid. Like, how great is that?
I imagine there's some legal ramifications to that as well.
Yeah, well, it was funny because even when I went to the first E3, I think back in 1995, you have to be 18 or older to get to E3, and I think it was only, I don't know what the math was, but I was 16? I think 15 or 16 or something at the time. So I actually had to carry like a letter from the people who put on E3, like in my pocket, saying I was allowed to be inside of E3 because I was so young. So it was it was fun, but it's just great now, the guys that I knew 12, years ago, to see them still making games, and it's fun, and it's a great industry with a lot of great people, so that's why I sort of stuck with it, because I love it so much.
All right, now, have there been any major hurdles to your experience in the industry and moving from, journalistic, writing for different people?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't trained as a journalist, so I was sort of self-taught. I mean, I went to college for philosophy and business and a bunch of other things. So, I think one of the big hurdles that I've had to sort of overcome is the perception that video game journalists they're not particularly well respected among sort of mainstream writers and stuff like that. I think a lot of the cases, the guys that write for most of the video game magazines are people who are game fans first and sort of writers or journalists second.
That seems to be the case, definitely.
Exactly. So that's a challenge sort of to overcome that. But luckily, I worked really hard on my writing, and I always tried to, I wrote previews and reviews, but I also tried to do sort of a lot of features and sort of like what Julie and I do on Electric Playground. We interview the designers sort of behind the games and profile who these people are. And I did a series on GameSpot called Behind the Games, which I still do, which is sort of profiles of some of the biggest game developers out there. So it was fun to sort of, explore these personalities and who these people are and not just look at the pixels and talk about how the game plays. So I think that sort of was a hurdle for me to convince people that there are interesting people in the industry that we want to write about, we want to get to know. And then luckily that sort of allowed me to kind of bridge over to doing a lot more mainstream stuff and Entertainment Weekly and magazines like that now, yet still kind of doing stuff for the main enthusiast magazines, which is the hardcore gamers like us.
So tell me if I'm wrong here. I'm under the impression that games journalism is slightly more respected than it used to be, at least considered that, I guess, since it could make some money now, the industry as a whole, they seem to appreciate, I guess, us.
Yeah.
Like part of
the media now?
A little bit, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. When I started, a lot of kids ask me now, it's like, how do I get started, this and that. When I started, I was just posting reviews for free on the internet, and I was young, so one of the great things is I've kind of grown up with the industry, so when I started, writing these reviews, I was 13, 14, I didn't really need to be making an income, so I was just doing it for free because, I didn't have to put food on my table or pay rent, so it was great to be able to start kind of in that, in the cocoon of sort of, young adulthood where you can sort of understand, just get started, find something you like and keep doing that. So, yeah, I think journalism is getting a little better respect. I mean, you probably heard about this kind of new games journalism phenomenon that, was written up in the New York Times. And I think, there's a real yearning for more sort of criticism and more discussion about video games. And, I think some mainstream magazines are doing a little bit more coverage. But I think it has a long ways to go until game journalists are really respected the way, a Roger Ebert is with movies or something like that.
So I wanted to ask if there was some pivotal point where things changed or at what time you thought it was a little bit, it sort of turned the corner, but I guess you're saying it still has that to happen.
Yeah, I think, I look back. I mean, I think, what's helping is that the game consoles are getting better technologically, so it's some ways easier to tell stories in games, which in turn I think makes the games a little more interesting to write about. So, to write something really sort of intellectually stimulating or deep about, Pong or Tetris is a challenge. But when you have these, great games with, plot twists and different characters and a lot of emotion in the games, I think it makes it easier to kind of, really have kind of subjective sort of arguments and criticisms of games and discuss them as sort of, a piece of art as opposed to a piece of sort of technology or code. So I think the industry is kind of evolving, the games are evolving, and then I think the journalists are getting better. And hopefully, there was a stigma, I think, associated with games journalism, 10 years ago, which I think has gone away because it used to be, no one would go to journalism school saying, I want to be a video game journalist because it wasn't necessarily respected or they thought all you do is just play games and write reviews. And now I think people are realizing that, no, you can write feature stories, news stories. And I encourage anyone out there who wants to write about games to really get into it because I think there's a dearth of good journalists out there writing about games. I think it's a huge opportunity to get into it.
Well, yeah, I thought it was significantly easier to editorialize on the industry as soon as some wacky lawyer went out and started spouting a lot of racial slurs and things in an interview with us a couple weeks ago. Did you listen to that interview, the Jack Thompson?
Yeah, Jack is, you know, I think a couple of years ago he had, you know, I think, you know, he raised some interesting points and people were, you know, kind of curious to hear what he's saying, but he's really kind of just gone off the deep end lately. And it's, you know, this, you know, Hillary Clinton sort of, you know, was got pulled into it too with, you know, hot coffee, but now all this stuff about, you know, the Sims, and he's going after bullying, and it's just sort of, you know, this is sort of his final hurrah, I think, so he's just trying to sort of, you know, go as crazy as he can for this final stretch. But yeah, it's, he's an interesting guy, and I know, you know, he's very eager to get his message out there, and I think a lot of gay magazines actually turn him down because they just know that, you know, there's not a lot of there, but what was your take on talking to him?
Well, listen, I appreciate the guy because he threw us into the limelight. So
yeah.
Right.
Well, at the beginning of the interview, he did seem, you know, he had some valid points and he did make, you know, some, you know, good arguments. But then at the end, he just kind of went a little crazy.
Yeah. Honestly, like, clearly some changes need to be made. Like, there need to be some more steadfast rules on how children have access to mature games. But, like, it's really not that big a change, I think, that needs to be made.
Yeah.
And he's looking for all these changes and making accusations of companies and
yeah, it's just so radical. And I think, you know, absolutely you're right that, you know, there should be enforcement. And, you know, I think there's this, you know, there's a situation with parents right now that I don't think fully understand the content that are in these games that they buy for their kids. And, you know, but that's not necessarily saying that, yeah, I mean, even, you know, what Hillary Clinton was saying about, you know, directly because of what Thompson had told her about how this was embedded pornography in Grand Theft Auto and stuff. I mean, you know, anyone's seen that, it's no worse than the puppet sex scene in Team America or something.
Yeah.
But at the same point, it's, you know, seen as embedded pornography. And, yeah, they sensationalize it, and they hope that people who don't know much about video games hear this stuff and, you know, automatically say, well, this is terrible, and, you know, they've never actually played the game. And that's the problem with Jack, is I think he's sort of been, you know, he's been called out by a lot of people.
All right, that's the point. We got a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes, everybody.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
Once again, we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Alon, and this is Nate.
Hey.
All right, if you want to give us a call, the toll-free number for anywhere in the U.S. or Canada is 866-536-1100. We've got Julie and Jeff Keighley on the line to help us out, to talk about...
Hey, how's it going?
Jeff, actually. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
We're talking about Julie. We're talking about Electric Playground, which you can see Julie and I both on G4.
Now, are you guys on all the time? Or are you like, Jeff, you're a guest host on Electric Playground, right?
Yeah, well, Julie's one of the main hosts with Tommy and Victor. Okay. I think Julie's been on the show probably 3-4 years longer than that. You've done, how many seasons have you done, Julie?
Yeah, I think actually I'm pushing 5 now. This is going to be, I've been on over 100 episodes, and so it's been a good haul. I have a great time with it, and you know, it's been great ever since Jeff got on, too, because, you know, when it was just the three of us, there was only so much you can cover, but the more hosts we have, the more content we can get, and Jeff he's just a fun guy to hang out with, and he's got so much knowledge in the industry that it's been great. So.
All right,
it was
now,
fun time, and yeah, we do, I guess, probably about 26 episodes a year, so sort of like, you know.
You know what? He just bumped it up. You got to talk to Vic. He's talking about 52.
Wow, all right.
We just doubled our, we're trying to go daily eventually is the goal, but right now we're going to start doing 52 episodes a year, and it's going to be insane, so get ready to work, Jeff.
Even more work.
Wow. All right, so Jeff, tell me how did you land that gig? You're just hanging out with Vic, having lunch one day, and you said, hey.
Yeah, you know, funny story is I've known Vic probably about 10 years, I want to say, because yeah, I grew up in Toronto, Canada, and Vic's based in Vancouver. So I had actually worked when I was a kid. I was, you know, 15, 16. I worked on this TV show, which was the first video game award show ever done. It was back in 1993, called Cybermania, hosted by Leslie Nielsen and Jonathan Taylor Thomas, a little kid from Home Improvement. So I'd worked on that, which was produced out here in L.A., was a producer in Toronto anyway. So at some point I had met with Vic and talked to him about it, and he sent me the original pilot for Electric Playground, which is pretty funny when you look back on it, that he had created, and we sort of kept in touch over all these years. And then finally, sort of 2 or 3 years ago, Vic just came up to me one day in an event, and he said, hey, have you ever thought of doing some kind of on-camera stuff, you know, hosting TV stuff? And I really respected Vic, and I sort of thought about doing TV stuff, but if I wanted to do TV, I wanted to do it some way that sort of, you know, respected me as a journalist and wasn't just me as some talking head. So Vic said, hey, let's, you know, film some stuff at E3. This was probably 2 years ago at E3. So why don't we just film some test things, see how you do? And then, you know, we filmed it, and the rest is history. So it's a ton of fun to work on that show because, you know, that's Vic has been doing it now literally for a decade. And, you know, a lot of people now talk about wanting to do video game TV, but Vic's the one guy that has the history and, you know, makes a pretty good show. So I'm happy to be associated with it.
And the crazy thing is, when I first met Jeff, the first thing that went in my head was, oh, my gosh, it's Mini Vic. Because they're just so similar. I was like, because Vic is, I mean, if anyone that knows Victor, I mean, the guy is just very intelligent, knows all about the industry, very personable, and Jeff's the same way. I was just like, perfect.
Thank you, Julie. Well, we're glad we've got Julie on, and Jade is another one of our hosts. We have a fantastic cast. I'm really proud of the five of us now. I think we all have something different that we bring to the table, and it's a lot of fun to work with all. And we finally all got to meet and be in the same place at E3 this year, which is something that has never happened before. So
I know, that was a trip.
Yep. See, I would have thought that you guys all would know each other.
Well, we know each other, but we've never all been in the same place at the same time.
Wow.
Because, you know, Jade is based up in Montreal. Julie's been all over the place. Now she's in California. Down in San Diego, I'm in Los Angeles, and then Vic is in Vancouver, and Tommy is, I think, somewhere in Orange County.
Wow.
But we're all over the place, so we never actually physically kind of all get together. But this was at E3 this year, and there was like, it was only like for 15 minutes. We all kind of like crunched our schedules together and said, all right, you know, 1 o'clock, we can all meet here, and then we shot some sort of host graphs with all five of us. But yeah, we know each other, obviously, but all five of us are never in the same place at the same time, it seems.
Jeff, have you been down to Tommy's house yet?
I haven't. I know he had a barbecue just a couple weeks ago. There, did you go to that?
I was out of town, but I've you gotta check his pad out.
I heard about the Spider-Man room.
You don't even know. This guy is such a Spider-Man fan. He's devoted an entire room of his mansion to Spider-Man. It's just full of Spider-Man stuff. It's insane.
Yeah, he did actually an old like PlayStation magazine. They actually did like sort of a MTV crib style thing on Tommy's house that I did watch. And it, you know, he showed off his car, you know, his Ferrari, and he showed off his, you know, grand piano in his Spider-Man room. And yeah,
and
Tommy
got
is
a tiger and a dinosaur in the backyard now.
A tiger and a dinosaur?
Yeah, it's nuts.
All right, I want to get one of those 5-foot-tall Mario statues.
That's pretty cool.
That
idea.
Would be a permanent fixture in my bedroom, probably. Yeah, that's where I put it.
You might not want to put it in the bedroom. Maybe put it in the backyard or something.
That's totally my style.
So a girl walks into your bedroom and she's just like, whoa.
All right, so let's shift gears from Chatterbox Cribs, and I wanted to ask Jeff how you were, or if I'm right to think that you parlayed the EP gig into your own G4TV.com show.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's it kind of all just kept snowballing. So, yeah, I started EP, I'd say, two and a half years ago, and then, yeah, G4 had always – I'd always been sort of a guest on G4, just because it – partially because of geography, I'm so close to the network. I live within about 10 minutes of the studio. So whenever they needed a guest, they'd sort of call me in for their news show or something like that. But, yeah, then so I've been doing EP, and then last year, G4TV.com, that show, the original host of the show, Scott Rubin, who had done All Games radio and online video show for many years, went to G4, did that show with Tina Wood and Laura Foy, and he left last June. So then after that, they asked me if I'd be willing to come in once a week and host that talk show. So, yeah, I think it was partially because I had the experience on P and its EP. It's a lot of fun to do that show. I mean, I have a great time, and we get lots of great guests. So it's, yeah, it's nice to, you know, I have two shows on the network, but it's really fun because they're totally different shows and done by totally different people. But it's they're video game related, which is what matters to me.
And so for G4TV.com show, you just every week you have a new guest and that's what you do. You're just doing the talk show with someone, kind of like, you know, a Letterman style?
Yeah, it's well, it's me and then the two co-hosts from the old show are still there, Tina Wood and Laura Foy. So they carried over. So it's basically the three of us and we have a discussion. We involve callers. We talk about sort of the new releases of the week. And then we have, yeah, usually a big name sort of guest come in every week. So from Todd Hollinshead, from Id, to Tim Schafer, who did Psychonauts, and we just bring in these big guests and do interviews with them as well. It's fun. It's just sort of a half-hour week. It's on Friday nights at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern on G4.
So who's been your favorite guest?
Well, favorite guest. We had Cliffy B from Epic on a few weeks ago. Cliff is, Cliff and I had kind of grown up together because, you know, he started designing games. I think he was 16, and I met him when I was like 13. So it's funny now to see us, a decade later what we're doing. So Cliff just came on a few weeks ago after the G4A Awards, which is G4's annual awards. He came out here to L.A. to be on the awards show. So he came into our show the day after, and we did a great interview with him. And he showed some new Gears of War footage, which looks fantastic. So Cliff is one of my favorite guys. But, yeah, we're lucky that we sort of get to, you know, pick whatever guests we want. And the great thing about the game industry is that, you know, people, you know, it's not like Hollywood where they have tons of publicists and, you know, they're not willing to come on the show or, you know, they're going to be flown out on a private jet or anything. Most people are just sort of like, hey, yeah, you want me to come on? No problem. So we've had a really great slate of people all year, and I hope we'll get some more good guests into the fall.
You think that freedom will last for much longer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, having watched the industry as it's evolved over the past 10, 15 years, and I write for Entertainment Weekly as well, so I get to see a little bit of the Hollywood side of entertainment. And it's one of the things, I mean, Julie and I have talked about this, is one of the things I love about the game business is that, you know, people certainly have egos, but it's not as bad as, you know, the movie business or the TV business. And I think it'll probably slightly, you know, it gets a little worse every year, but at the same point, I think, you know, as long as the same great people that started in the business stick around, I think they'll always sort of push back against that. And, you know, that's what I love to tell people about their favorite game designers. I mean, most of them are just the nicest, sweetest guys out there. You know, like Will Wright, Tim Schafer.
Hey, now, wait a second. I heard that Will Wright is trying to push porn on ads.
Collaborating with the porn industry.
Where did you hear this?
Well, our good friend Jack Thompson was telling us this.
Okay. Jack? Well, yeah, I guess I tend to trust Will Wright a little more than Jack Thompson on that one. But
listen, all I know is that he is an old, respected lawyer, and he told me specifically that Will Wright wanted EA to collaborate with the porn industry.
Really?
I believe that was a quote.
It was an actual quote.
Wow, I did. I'll have to roll back the tape on that. So yeah, I can promise you that Will is one of the nicest guys out there, and I don't think that's his goal. But,
yeah, in truth, I've actually met Will myself, not for an extended period of time, but he does seem, like you're saying, like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And,
I'm just imagining him, you know, conniving with porn like stars and producers. It just doesn't. That image does not happen in my mind. It won't allow it. It just doesn't make sense.
That nice guy image, it's just a cover.
That's why when Jack said that, it stood out in my mind, like, oh, my God, I can't believe he just said that.
Right. Well, the thing is, the problem is he doesn't have any credibility when he says stuff like that because he doesn't know Will Wright. He hasn't really even investigated. And what happened was, you know, he heard that The Sims, you know, they could be nude if you took off the sort of the mosaic blurring. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a fact. And then he tries to sort of, you know, amplify it by just, you know, using these sensational statements about this kind of stuff. And, you know, if he knew Will anywhere near as well as I did, you know, he would never begin to say something like that. It's just irresponsible.
Yeah, he's kind of a tool. And actually, when we come back from break, we're going to talk for a minute about one of the topics that he brought up during the interview with us regarding basically his only argument against EA regarding copyright and how they're blowing it by not protecting their copyright. And anyway, so I'll talk about why that's completely wrong. And Nate has a few things to talk about as well. Now, Jeff, if you want to stay on with us, that'd be great.
Sure.
All right. How much longer do we have left, Andrew, before the break? We got 2 minutes? All right.
Oh, we got a lot of time now.
Well, killer. That's all sorts of time. So what else is going on that you want to tell us about, Jeff, since I've got 2 minutes?
What else is cooking? You know, there's a lot of, in terms of like what people are talking about in the industry these days, you know, a lot of people are getting pretty excited about the Xbox 360. It's supposed to be some news this week on the price and the release date in the U.S. I think that's probably going to come out on Wednesday is what the online rumors say.
That's what I was reading, too. I did want to sort of get your take on sort of the ravenism of people choosing either PS3 or Xbox 360 and then how, you know, one might be better than the other or whatever. And what's your take on deciding preemptively which one will do better?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's interesting because I write the back page column for the official Xbox magazine every month now, so I've been in there, and I've been somewhat critical of Xbox and Microsoft in that column, and a lot of people have been calling me out on it. And I think, you know, Sony had a fantastic show at E3. The stuff they showed for PlayStation 3 was just phenomenal, and Microsoft disappointed people. So it's really way too early right now to say one is going to dominate the other. I think they're both going to be pretty strong consoles. And, at the end of the day, Xbox is going to have a bit of a head start. Is that going to matter? I'm not sure yet. They're both going to be healthy consoles. I mean, it's not like the 360 is going to go the way of the Dreamcast. I mean, this is Microsoft we're talking about, and they have a lot of support. But, yeah, people love to speculate on things. And right now, we don't have full information. So, I think people would be wise. If they're only going to buy one console, they probably should wait until next year, decide when both are out. And the great thing is that there are tons of great PS2 and Xbox One games coming out this holiday season. I mean, Half-Life 2, you can only play on Xbox One.
Half-Life 2? You mean when it comes out?
When it comes out.
Okay. That's what he meant. All right, we're going to go to break, and we're going to be back in, 3-4 minutes? So stay tuned with us, everybody. We'll be right back.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio with Alana, Nate, and Julie, and Jeff, and Andrew, and so many people. So we're going to bring Julie and Jeff back on the phone lines. And Nate, unfortunately, he's out, meandering around town. But he'll be back in the studio in a second. Anyway, so I do want to remind everyone, if you want to get into the industry, you heard the commercial, uat.edu is the place to go to learn about going to the University of Advancing Technology. Take a look, because it's really not that bad. Kind of enjoyed it. So anyway, one thing I wanted to talk about, and we had gotten Jeff to sort of talk about this before our half-hour break, to talk about Jack Thompson. And I was saying one of the big points he was making was against EA and what he claims is an entrance into the porn industry by allowing people to modify the Sims games. And so this has created a lot of stir in our forums. And you can go
to anybody played The Sims? I mean, you got to do something to spice it up. You know what I mean? I mean, really. I'm sorry. Go on.
You've got a point, Julie.
I couldn't tolerate the game unless that stuff was in there.
Yeah. But Jack makes it out to be a really big deal. And actually, there was one point when Nate asked a very important question, whether or not he thought The Sims was worse than Grand Theft Auto. And he said, well, I didn't see any nudity in Grand Theft Auto. And this is, of course, before he realized that there were, like, hardcore hard copy mods.
He said that? Jack said that?
Yeah, Jack said, well, I didn't see any nudity in Grand Theft Auto. Direct
unbelievable.
Quote.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable.
And he's never probably even seen Hot Coffee.
Well, exactly. And so my point was, because I had asked him also, I said, well, your whole website, StopKill.com, is dedicated to stopping violence in games. Absolutely dedicated. There's not a single word about maturity in reference to nudity or sexual content. And so then I'm saying it gets on this big bandwagon of going against Take-Two and Rockstar once Hot Coffee mod comes out, which is about, two people loving rather than killing. And so I bring this up and he says, well, wait a minute. I've been working, trying to get people to hate Take Two for years.
It's 99.
It's not my fault. People are just starting to listen to me now. So then Nate says, what's worse? And he goes, well, nudity clearly is worse. But one of the big points he makes in reference to the mods for The Sims, which allow this porno stuff, was that he says EA is going to lose their copyright if they don't enforce the copyright by stopping these modifications from happening, by actively pursuing or trying to shut down these mod websites, which, for one, he shouldn't even care about. Fine, they lose their copyright, he wins.
Right.
But all these people started talking in our forums and in other forums, and there's one forum in the UK, like RLLM UK, I don't know, some UK forum where people are clearly more involved in educational discussions than they are here in the U.S. And they pointed me to a website. This is templetons.com. And this is not like a U.S. government website where I'm reading straight from copyright law, but I have a feeling that this guy's not BSing on the website. And it's 10 myths. One of the myths is, if you don't defend your copyright, you lose it. And so what he has to say is that this is false. Copyright effectively is never lost these days unless explicitly given away. You can't copyright a name or anything short like that, like titles, such as The Sims, which Jack specifically said, you know, people use the word The Sims on the website, so they're going to lose copyright. And this gentleman brings up the fact that that is trademarks, not copyrights. And, you know, losing the ability to enforce that they own the word The Sims in reference to a video game has nothing to do, with the ethics of putting porno in the game.
Right,
and
exactly.
losing the ability to sell it or to make money or to sue people who try to copy their game. And so people should go to templetons.com, or better yet, just go to our forums and discuss this.
Well, to even call it porno, I think, is just, I mean, it's nothing near that. I mean, it's, you know, it's, if anything, you know, you take off the mosaicing, and it's, I mean, people can modify it and stuff, but it's just, I mean, it's puppets. I mean, it's, you know, it's characters, not real people.
That's the point.
Yeah, it's like Kermit the Frog is naked. Come on now.
Yeah, and I brought up to him, I said, listen, you could sue Mattel for, you know, selling dolls that I could make naked at any point in time. And he said, well, you know, it's different because you're putting these characters in a scenario in sexual situations and all that, so it's clearly.
But really,
mature.
In The Sims, it's not a sexual scenario.
You should have seen some of the things I used to do with Barbie and Ken.
Yeah.
Oh, you get interesting, all right? That's all.
You and me, Julie, were so alike. You and me and Nate, actually, peas in a pod. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up because it's the number one defense against really his number one argument against EA, which was possibly the craziest part of his argument. So maybe we shouldn't have even paid attention to it in the first place. But you should go download that interview and take a listen because it is
some good stuff.
It's some good entertainment. 80 minutes worth, though, so you got to have some time to kill.
And where can we download that?
ChatterboxGameShow.com.
All right.
That's us. Now, Nate, there were some other things that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah. We're getting to that. I came in late. I had some problems.
You had to pee, admit it.
Yeah.
An emergency pee session.
Emergency pee, that's right. It was those donuts. Well, basically, the IGDA filed some white papers about demographics and all this stuff, and I was reading through it very casually over the past couple of weeks, and one thing that just kind of hit me was they pretty much just say it's very unlikely that casual gamers play, you know, and they say most casual gamers are women between 30 and 45, don't play, like, hardcore PC games like Halo. Now, Alon was bringing me that there's, like, different definition of what, you know, casual is considered. But as I was reading it, apparently I exist in a demographic that doesn't exist. Because I play almost exclusively hardcore games, but I have no time. So if I get, like, 6 hours a week, I'm lucky. I'm in heaven if I get 6 hours a week to play video games.
And now, the irony here is that casual games, what I was telling you, casual games are considered more like the 5-minute
Yahoo the work,
spades
Jabool,
and stuff.
Right, and Pogo.com, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I would make the argument that people who play those casual games during the week, like the women between 35 and 45...
Probably play more than me.
Probably play more than 6 hours a week.
Yeah, well, let's also keep in mind that, you know, it's a lot of people that, like, at the office, they have a boring job, they'll pull up, you know, Solitaire, or, you know, they'll call up Pogo on the internet. I mean, it's not like you can take your PS2 to the office and, you know, flip it on when, you don't have any work to do. But a lot of people, yeah, they play over the internet, too, and I think that's a lot of what's happening.
Now, sort of on the subject is the point that, well, everybody's doing this, but Microsoft has been particularly outspoken about the fact that they're trying to introduce casual games on their next console, as they sort of tried to do with the current Xbox and the Xbox Live Arcade stuff.
Right, if they didn't charge $20 to play Pac-Man.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But what's your feeling on that? Do you think it's really going to expand the demographic playing the Xbox?
Yeah, I think eventually. I mean, you know, a lot of their ideas about growing to, you know, a billion gamers and everything, I think people ridicule. I mean, there's... At the heart, it's a good idea. I think the problem is, my problem with it is, you say you want to appeal to this sort of, you know, wider mass market. Well, you know, when you're going to bring out a console, which will probably cost between $300 and $400, you know, it's geared towards hardcore people, and they're the early adopters. And, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road, sure, maybe you'll get some more people playing casual games on that. And I would even have fun. I mean, you know, if you could just play Pong on a 360 or something, it still might be kind of fun once in a while to do it. I mean, you're not going to buy the console to do that. But it's kind of as a value add. I think there's something to be said there for it. So I just look at, though, things like iToy on PlayStation 2 to me is a better example of something that's more kind of casual and, you know, appeals to a wider mass market audience. I mean, iToy, I think, is...
Or Nintendo. You can't forget Nintendo. I mean, Nintendo's always been kind of the best value for your buck if you're just looking for a cheap console.
Yeah, look at, like, Nintendogs is, like, you know, a great example of sort of a more casual game that I think appeals to women and stuff. So that's the thing, is Microsoft's talking about how they want to do it, but in fact, Sony and Nintendo have probably made better strides in that direction so far.
All right. Julie, since you brought up Nintendogs, do you have, like, all three copies?
Well, I actually brought up Nintendo in general just because I'm kind of excited about the revolution. The funny thing about Electric Playground is, you know, we're always talking about PS and Xbox, and I think sometimes Nintendo gets overlooked, and I think that we're talking about casual gamers. I think, you know, I mean, I don't know about you guys. We all kind of grew up on Nintendo, and I think that's not necessarily going to change. So.
Yeah, well, we here at Chatterbox, or at least me, since I'm the console guy, definitely very excited about the revolution. We've talked about that a few times, how a lot of people dog on them, on Nintendo, I mean. And,
yeah, but they never seem to go away, you
well,
know.
I've always defended them just because so far, like, they may not talk about it, but what they actually do has always worked out really well, and I have the confidence in them that they're going to produce some great things, even if I don't know what they are yet. So
what do you think, since we're projecting here, since we're coming up with ideas, what do you think the new way of gaming that the revolution is promising, what do you think that's going
to
be?
Direct injection to the brain.
Me too, clearly. I hope.
All right, So I would actually like to expand on that, but we don't have any more time.
Yeah, we're out.
We got to go. So I'm going to take this moment to thank everybody. That is Jeff and Julie for calling in to be with us. Jeff has a million things that I could plug. So instead of doing that, because it's impossible, I'm going
to
point you
site.
To his website, gameslice.com. And you can read about all the very many things that he does. And Julie, of course, well, you can read about all the three hosts at chatterboxgameshow.com. So thank you very much. And we hope you come back next week.
Night.